This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Taking a look at the issues surrounding the health and well-being of our LGBTIQ+ communities. This is Well Well Well, brought to you by the team from Thorn Harbour Health on Joy and the Community Radio Network.
You're here on Well 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 with Jacinta and Jack, and we are still with Shane Sturgis from the Black Aboriginal Corporation. And we wanted to have a discussion about The Voice. And Shane, you've been involved in a lot of discussions already and have been involved in working groups around it. I wanted to start with, what does the proposed Voice to Parliament mean to you, and why is it important for Australia?
For me, it's an acknowledgement and a recognition of Aboriginal people as the first people of Australia. It's something that has been lacking. It provides a mechanism for Aboriginal people to actually have a say in matters and issues that directly relate to their lives, and allow them to speak to a process that they've been able to manage for tens of thousands of years successfully prior to colonisation, at which point things started to go pretty south for Aboriginal people. The importance of it to Australia is to bring every Australian a level of pride in being Australian, in recognising our Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander people as the first peoples of this country, and to bring a level of equity to the Constitution. You know, in 1901, this country created a constitution that wasn't equitable. It actually excluded First Nations people and created, for years after that, massive deficits for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. And for Australia, this will be a really significant part in the reconciliation processes. But it'll also give all Australians a sense of pride in knowing that they live in a country that does recognise their First Nations people, acknowledge them, accept them, and are also proud of their culture.
In what way, Shane, do you think The Voice will provide opportunities for change and healing?
Again, it's to do with, I think, the biggest change in healing's going to come around in generations. There will be initial impacts of this that will be positive. It will provide Aboriginal voices speaking to Aboriginal issues. It'll bring that cultural knowledge back to the forefront for Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander people. But I think the more significant changes will happen over generations, where these policies and processes have been able to be recognised, implemented, and the benefits to be seen from them. I'm hoping will be, by the time my granddaughters are of an age where this doesn't necessarily need to be a discussion anymore, because it is just the process that happens where Aboriginal voices are heard and listened to.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. And what has been the process behind getting to this point of having a referendum announced and everyone going to vote on this proposed change? Obviously there's been a lot of work behind it, but can you just kind of tell our listeners, what has been that history behind this moment that we're facing right now?
This whole voice process has been an ongoing process for over a decade. one of the really annoying aspects, I suppose, of the No campaign is you know, and some of the words that have been used, this is Albanese's referendum, that it's actually taken something that was created by Aboriginal people for Aboriginal people over a decade ago, this journey started. And more recently, it's become a political playground where it's not actually politicians that this affects. It's not politicians that have initiated this process. This was commenced by a group of people over 10 years ago in creating the Uluru Statement, which is an invitation for all Australians to join us on this journey. And the commencement of that journey is the voice to Parliament. But even longer than that, I'd say that this journey has been going since the 1967 referendum, where the referendum was to include Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in the census to be counted as human. And it's been a process that's been, there's been strong advocates and resilient people that have led that process and that charge ever since then to bring us to this point. So to turn around now and use politics as a football to kick this around to try and divide voices and divide the country is a really disrespectful game to play to the hard work of all of the Aboriginal people that have worked on bringing this to the point it is now for the decades that they've been doing it.
Shane, I believe you've spoken around the idea that, I guess, for Rainbow Mob, this is the second time in a handful of years that people's rights have been put up for national discussion. The marriage equality plebiscite in 2017 led to harmful public debate about LGBTIQA rights and lives. I guess thinking about the implications of debate and the platform for racism, what are, I suppose, the potential extra harms for Rainbow Mob to come out of this debate that we're talking about around the voice to Parliament?
Yeah, look, for our LGBTIQ plus SB Aboriginal community, it will be the second time in 5 years, 6 years, that they've invited the entire country to sit around and talk about them as people, as citizens, as humans. And all I really would ask of everyone is, you know, yes, we are inviting you to have those discussions. Yes, we are inviting you to have that vote. But particularly for our queer community, and from, you know, the narratives that we heard through the marriage equality campaign, that we want to try and avoid the harm elements in going into the referendum, is you need to be kind to each other. And yes, have these conversations, but have them mindfully and respectfully and with purpose. Don't just go at this, you know, saying crap because you've got a mouth and you can say crap. Go out there with a purpose and, you know, genuinely seek engagement on it. Do it respectfully. Do it knowing that the conversations that you're having affect individuals. They affect their purpose in life. They affect their lives. So be kind to each other when having these conversations and just be respectful and mindful that this is somebody's life that you're talking about.
For people listening, I suppose non-Indigenous LGBTIQA plus people, how else can they support Rainbow Mob through this time, really?
I think within our LGBTIQ plus SB sector around the country, I think if we look out for each other. We host our wellbeing sessions. I mean, Black are looking at putting together some consultations around the country to do harm minimalization and to build resilience and wellbeing processes for our rainbow Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander families to ensure that the level of harm to come from any narratives around this referendum is minimized. And then hopefully at the end of this referendum, regardless of the outcome, host a wellbeing gathering to talk to each other and connect with each other and bring about that level of harmony for our community.
We spoke a little bit about the journey to get where we are today. I suppose looking forward beyond the vote, I don't believe we still quite know when it is yet. I suppose what long-term change do you hope to see from The Voice? I imagine part of that would be to come from the Uluru Statement as well around truth and treaty, I imagine, would be part of it.
Yeah. Look, they are all processes that need to follow. I think post-referendum, particularly for our rainbow families and our rainbow communities, we do need to have a voice. We need to ensure that the voice to Parliament does include a queer element that can speak to all of the intersections and all of the our rainbow acronym in presenting that as part of the voice to Parliament. And in doing so, Black would make sure that are making sure that we're advocating that, and that post-referendum, regardless of the outcome, that we will be here to support Mob. We'll be here to look at what the next steps are. Hopefully, they're all positive steps following a yes vote. But either way, there is still work to be done, and there's still work for us to be able, that we need to come together to deliver on.
And Shane, NIDOC is about celebrating survival and resilience and strength, and obviously all of those things are something that people are keeping in mind coming up to this really big moment in history, really. Do you have any advice for Rainbow Mob out there during NIDOC week and for these months ahead?
Look, connect with each other. If you do know, engage and educate people. If you don't know, then ask. There's information out there. There's a multitude of information out there. You need to make sure you're reading the right information, that whatever decision you're making, you're making well-informed. Whatever discussions that you're having with people, remain open to the possibility of change based on the information that you receive. If we all go into this really closed mind with a set agenda or a set response, we're not really then able to listen.
Shane Sturger, CEO at Black Aboriginal Corporation, thank you so much for joining us to speak a little bit about the work you do for community, the work at Black, as well as The Voice. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much. It's been my pleasure. Thank you to all your listeners, and vote yes.
Thank you, Shane.
From HIV to COVID-19, STIs and everything in between, you're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy and the Community Radio Network.
We're now joined by Jill Gallagher, who is a proud Gunjamara woman from Western Victoria. Jill is the Chief Executive Officer of VARCHO, the peak representative for community-controlled health and well-being of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in Victoria. VARCHO has released a statement in support of voting yes to the establishment of a First Nations voice to Parliament. Why is it important for VARCHO to make this statement?
I think, well, for VARCHO, we are a peak body for Aboriginal health and well-being here in Victoria. And we've been around, I think, 26 years now. And, you know, we do our best, like everyone else. We still haven't closed that life expectancy gap that was kicked off back in 2008. We still are over-incarcerated in the justice system, in the correctional services. We still have our children being taken away at alarming rates. We still have poverty that exists in a well-developed country, in the Aboriginal communities across this country. It needs to be changed. And I believe, not only as a CEO of VACCHO, but as an Aboriginal woman, that change is about empowerment.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, being able to have this change, obviously we're encouraging people to vote yes in the upcoming referendum. You know, why is having this Indigenous voice to Parliament going to create this change? What kind of things do you expect will happen?
Well, I would expect that, you know, if we had a voice to Parliament some 30 years ago, when the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody was commissioned and all these recommendations come out, I would expect that this voice would ensure that government would implement those recommendations. I would expect that this voice holds governments accountable for not implementing the solutions that we've worked very hard to put together. I don't know how many reports that deal with Aboriginal disadvantage in this country still sit on a shelf. When the Social Justice Commissioner, back then, Tom Carmer, when he first came into office, he basically said we can close that life expectancy gap. It's not too hard for, back then it was less than 3% of the population, but we need long-term commitment that goes longer than political parties' time frame. That voice can hold the government, the bureaucracy, and also politicians accountable for not achieving the outcomes that we know what we need to do.
Yeah, and relating to that, I guess that accountability and the wider truth-telling that will come from this process and from the referendum and then the establishment of the voice, you know, thinking about the statement that you released talking about the intergenerational and ongoing trauma cycles that have perpetuated these disadvantages, you know, since colonization and invasion happened in this country, what change do you hope it will bring to these ongoing traumas? And I think that in the statement you spoke a bit about how it can provide hope.
Well, hope is very important. In anyone's, in any community, if you are raised and live without hope, it's a pretty... you're pretty unwell. When I think about, I mean, I as an Aboriginal woman, you know, I never grew up on a mission. I was born in 1955. My mother was born in 1926. So she was born into a country where she had no hope automatically as a baby. She was born and lived on Framlingham Aboriginal Mission. And, where you control every aspect of your life as an Aboriginal person is controlled by the authorities, whether you can leave that mission or not, whether you can own property or not, whether you can get a job or not, whether you can see your children or not. That's how my mother grew up. She grew up without hope and without a voice. So that needs to change. And I know last year the coroner here in Victoria released his report that indicated that the suicide rates in the Victorian Aboriginal community have increased by 75%.
Wow.
Now that's no hope. There's a lack of hope. And having this recognition in the Australia's constitution that we are the first peoples of this country, that brings back that hope and it brings back that standing.
And have you seen that sense of hope kind of pick up around this discussion of having a voice to Parliament, you know, through the people who you see using Vartro services? Is that sense of hope coming through now that this is a real possibility?
Can I say that's really hard to gauge. I can only gauge my mum, as I spoke about before, she's still alive. She's 97 this year. And I visited her last week and I had a conversation because she remembers the 67 referendum. And I said to her, I said, Mum, we are having another referendum this year. And she said, oh, what's that about? And I said, well, it's basically about recognising your people, our people, as the first peoples in this country. And I can't repeat on radio what she said, by the way, because it's a little bit rude, but she said, it's about bloody time.
Wonderful, wonderful. So it has a really big impact and, you know, really shows the change that's happened over her lifetime.
Exactly. And exactly right. My mum had 11 children and she had 6 of those children taken off her. So, and she's not unique in the Aboriginal community right across this continent. She's just survived to feel the pain a lot longer than a lot of other Aboriginal people.
Yeah, it's really powerful to see the impact that this change and this representative voice can have for Aboriginal, yeah, Torres Strait Islander people, you know, everywhere. Yeah, I think in terms of the, you know, all of the discussion in the mainstream media and in government and just generally amongst people, you know, regularly in public, do you think that having this discussion is useful, or do you see maybe some of the perhaps the detrimental impacts of the debate and I guess in potentially an increase in people voicing really racist views in relation to the upcoming referendum?
Yeah, look, can I say, our people have survived for more than 60,000 years on this continent. We survived the extinction of the megafauna. We saw our ancestors witnessed the volcanoes erupting. My ancestors walked from Victoria to Tasmania. You know, when there was a land bridge, we're quite resilient and we can take anything that the racists want to dish out to us, the racist people out there. And yes, we are copping it, but I do believe the majority of the Australian community are not racist people. And they want to do the right thing. And this is the right thing to vote yes.
Absolutely. Incredible, powerful message, Jill Gallagher. Thank you very much for your time talking to us about the upcoming referendum. And, yeah, all the best for the upcoming campaigns that you'll be doing.
Thank you very much. And thank you for having taken the interest.
Thanks for listening to Well, 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 supported by Thorn Harbour Health on Joy and the Community Radio Network. For more LGBTIQ plus health and wellbeing and much more, check out Thorn Harbour on social media at Thorn Harbour or via the website thornharbour.org.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.